prop against it, but I don't actually need it.
Okay.
Oh, here's your testimony, Richard. I don't want to read that out again. It was good. Good. So, it's a huge privilege for me to be with you this morning for a number of reasons. One, just because, Richard, you know, we've known each other so long, and it's great to be able to have a part in this service today. And as you probably noticed in the kind of the bits and pieces around, I still can't understand why it's taken him 50 years to get here. But great, it's wonderful that that has happened. I just noticed as we were preparing this, to start off, we had the first part of Acts 2 up until verse 12. And then I've just asked to have out verses 14 to 21. Any superstitious people here? Miss out number 13, house on the street? Or okay. Well, let's just check what it says. Verse 13, some, however, made fun of them. They made fun of the disciples who were speaking. Some, however, made fun of them. They've had too much wine, they said. I hope you don't think I've had much wine with what I bring you this morning. What I would like to just also let you know at the moment is actually now preaching is not what I do. That Rosie and I are members of now, they're very warm and welcoming, and they've responded very well to what I bring them, which is a conversation. So that rather than, you know, me stand up here and spout all the stuff and you say, oh yeah, that's really good, go away, I'm prepared to take questions. And, you know, normally in the services that I do, it is a conversation. I'm actually asking questions and expecting people to respond. I'm not going to put you under that kind of pressure. But I do want this to be responsive. So in all seriousness, if I say anything that you don't quite understand or you want me to open up, stick your hand up and I'll try and spot you and I will try and respond. I did very early on in my career, and somebody put their hand up and they asked a question. I hadn't got a clue. So I said, a very good question. Come back next week and I'll try and find an answer for you. That's actually what the navigator chap said as well, wasn't it? Yeah, so that's where I got it from. So look, just to start off the participation bit. Put your hand up now. Who is a regular attender at this church here? No, I'm not. Sorry. Okay. Who is a regular attender at any other church? Perhaps not here necessarily. Rosie? Oh, and me. That's me now. Yeah. Okay, and a very brave question now. Is there anybody here who is not a regular attender at any church at the moment? Bless you. Thank you for being brave enough. And bless you too for being brave enough. So what I'm going to do this morning, just for the few minutes that I've got, if I can see the clock, yes, there it is just take this bit about Pentecost and just share some thoughts with you. One of the things I learned at Regent's Park, I don't think they put it in quite these terms, was that we could almost see God like a diamond. Okay, and you know, when I come to first time, I approach the diamond from this direction, and it's spectacular. It really is awesome to meet God like that. But of course, from where I'm looking is not the same as from where you're looking or from where you're looking. And sometimes it's good just to give that diamond a little bit of a twist and have a look at it from somebody else's perspective. So I'm going to try and offer you perhaps a few other perspectives on this passage today as well. And before I forget, if you've also got any questions of these three people who have been baptized and want to ask them why or what or if, do so. I'm putting you three on the spot now. any questions you have of them, then either, you know, afterwards in lunch, do ask. And I'll be around, obviously, for lunch as well. Okay, so Pentecost, as we've heard already, as was the Holy Spirit first came upon the first disciples at Jerusalem. Let's start with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Are they? Is it? I don't know which pronoun we use. Okay, the Holy Spirit is God. Okay, somebody like to define God for me? That's a tall order, but God was there before the creation of everything around us. He spoke, and the Ruach, the breath of God, the Spirit, same word in the language, brought everything into existence, holds everything together, and keeps, you know, the whole thing ticking over, is God, the Spirit. And, of course, we talk about the third part of the Trinity, again, a technical word, and I hope that you all understand a little bit about that, but do ask, don't. So we understand God to be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's remind ourselves that we're not talking about three gods. They are one God. There is only one of them. But we have these three labels. Mostly, I think, so that we can kind of get a grasp on this diamond that we're looking at. Because it's too awesome, really, for us to do. So the Holy Spirit is the presence of God holding the world together. The whole world exists within that kind of context. It's a bit like, I've heard people say, it's a bit like us in the air. You know, the air all around us. We don't see it. We feel it occasionally. But we can't do without it. It has to be there. You know, and, you know, I can deny flatly that the air does not exist. The air doesn't exist. Well, I can't get away from it. It does, and I'm living and breathing in it. God is a bit like that. We can deny him, but we can't get away from the fact that they are there, they hold everything together, and exist without them. In fact, to suggest that there is anywhere where God isn't is anathema. You know, if God isn't in a place, it doesn't exist, because everything exists in God. Okay? So, the Holy Spirit is part of this ever-present, all-sustaining Godhead, however we want to do it. Okay, so at Pentecost, the Spirit, we read, and Joel said it as well, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. How does that happen? Well, first, it's not literal. Okay, we can't put God in a jug and pour him out. Okay, so that's just a word that we use to try and understand it. But poured out into what? It can't be poured out into a vacant space where God doesn't exist. Because God is in everything already. So if God is already there, what is happening when the Spirit is poured out? It's already there. Okay. We're going to have to look at something a little bit technical now. Rosie has helped me, and I know she helped Richard, and she may help others of you as well. Joel, the book of Joel in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, the book of Joel and the Acts of the Apostles were written around the period kind of 500, maybe 700 years before Christ until about 100 years after Christ, that kind of period. Has it ever occurred to you that that is around about the end of the Iron Age? Okay, so these words were written down at the end of the Iron Age. In the Iron Age, everybody thought the earth was flat, no question about it. Everybody thought that everything rotated around us. So the sun appeared there, I don't know where it's been, it went through the sky, it disappeared over there. Oh, and it's come back up over there again. How did that happen? No idea. Some people started to try and put some of that theory together. But, you know, the sun appeared and then it disappeared. And it's a bit like the Spirit when they talk about, when these people would have talked about the Spirit. Sometimes they saw it and sometimes they didn't. Like the sun. Sometimes it was there, Sometimes it wasn't. Then it disappeared, and then it reappeared again. Now, actually, we know that the sun went round the bottom and came up again. It was always there. The Spirit is always there, never changes, always present. We just don't see it for some reason. I don't know what happens. We blank it out. It just becomes not a part of our everyday consciousness and experience. So maybe what was happening for those disciples and the way they wrote it down and the way they understood Joel is not so much that the Spirit came into an empty space and did it, but it was there already, and they became aware of the reality of the presence of God with them. And I bet one or two of them thought, I remember feeling a little bit like that once before, that maybe the Spirit was there then. But now at Pentecost, the whole congregation, set up in the best of that word by Jesus, were all waiting, eager, prepared for something. They didn't know what, but they were open, they were receptive, and suddenly, in this presence, God, for whatever reason, helped them to see the reality of his ever-present with them. They got it in that moment. They understood that wherever they were shown, that wherever they were, whatever they were doing, God was there with them. And they now have the opportunity to see consciously that reality for themselves. And, you know, it transformed them. Wouldn't it transform you? You know, if you had been looking at this diamond and then suddenly you found yourself actually on the inside of it looking out, because that's where you really were along, that's a completely transforming effect. And the thing about the Spirit, you know, when they were talking about the Spirit, the early disciples, they talked about the wind, and you know, I've talked about the air already, but they also talked about the Spirit being like fire. And of course, at Pentecost, the tongues of fire came upon each one of them. But what was happening was a transforming effect. You can't put anything into a fire and it come out unchanged. I'm open to a conversation on that. But in essence, you know, it'll be transformed by the fire. And this was a transformative moment for those New Testament disciples of Jesus. Their world was turned upside down, as they say elsewhere in the Acts of the Apostles. So this is quite an awesome event for them, for the disciples. But let me just add a few other quick thoughts to you. What Joel said and what Peter repeated was God saying, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. I was listening to a podcast the other day which suggested that the Holy Spirit was not a Christian. The Holy Spirit was poured out on all people. Now, mind what I've just said, the Holy Spirit is present in all people. In all things, in every rock, every tree, but every person is sustained, held together by the Spirit of God. God is present in all people. They may not be aware of it, but he's present. Who then is everybody? But Joel goes on from there and he lists some of the people that particularly will be become, if we use these new terms, become aware of the Spirit in their lives. Sons and, the daughters as well. You know, daughters in the family, they were, in Iron Age times, they were down here somewhere. You know, they didn't really count for anything. It was the sons that counted. Oh, they're going to get the Spirit as well. Oh, that's a bit tough one to deal with. But okay, we're talking about, you know, an equal world, are we? That's not the way they saw the world. They saw it different to that. So, old and young, and I won't have time to say more about that now. Servants. Now, if we talk about servants in relation to daughters, you know, we need servants were just nothing really in the culture of the Iron Age. But on servants, the Holy Spirit will be is present and will become present. Can we really understand how much of a jolt that must have been for them? That all people, even the most despised, will have the Spirit within them. What does that mean for us today? Who are the despised people in our generations, I wonder? Homeless, unemployed, refugees, boat people, politicians, tech giants. Who are the despised people? You know, if this Spirit of God, which holds everything together, is present in all of these people, that's a different view on the world, isn't it? So on this first, what we call first Pentecost, the disciples started to grasp something of the awesomeness of what Jesus was saying when he said, I will send my Spirit. You know, in terms of what I'm saying to you here, what he was effectively saying to them, I'm going to enable everybody to see that I, because I'm God as well, that God the Father, God the Spirit are present in your life. So the question is, for each one of us, how aware are we of that presence, that ever presence of the living God, sustaining God, creating God in us now? And in the person that you go to work with tomorrow morning, not tomorrow morning, it's bank holiday. The Spirit of God is present in them. They may not know it, but they are there. How do you treat them now? We need to grasp this, I think, new, slightly different understanding of the Spirit of God within us. I'll stop there. I have to be honest with you that I struggle now with singing songs like we've sung today, Come Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is here, always has been, always will be. What I prefer to sing is, open my eyes, Lord. Let me see Jesus in you, in me, and in the man on the street. That is a new paradigm within human experience, started on that first Pentecost. Thank you.